Thank you, Roger, for placing that there, because this talk really is about how you are not just the face of God, but you embody within you divinity. Through these weeks, especially after looking at all the bombings in Britain, looking at the fear, continually looking at the fear around the world, I keep asking the question, when will we figure out that we are divine and stop acting as if we're not? And so this talk is to remind us that we truly are divine. And I'm not just talking about the actress divine. As I go to the Pride Fest, so many people will say, I am divine. I am not just talking about that, and yes, I affirm that of each and every one of you. I am talking about that you are not only the creation of God, but within you, you are God. That God reigns supreme. And that at some point in time, we need to get it in our heads. That we don't have to look out somewhere for our own divinity. It is here within us. And as I was thinking about this talk and thinking about life and our lives and divinity, one of our congregants posted a song by India Ari. And it's called I Am the Light. And it's interesting because I think she answered so many questions as to why we forget we are the light. Now, I'll give you a couple of the verses of the song. She says, I am not the things my family did. How many of us have inherited aspects and qualities, the good and the bad, and have carried them within our hearts? I am not the voices in my head. Those family voices, the voices from our teachers, the voices of the people who said they loved us and injured us, who said wrong things about us, horrible things about us that keep going in through our head. We are not the voices of other people or of our own selves, because we know that who is the worst judge of us? We are. I am not the pieces of the brokenness inside. So much of our humanity, we continue throughout centuries of ages, probably when we were cavemen, we looked at the brokenness, some the qualities, the things that we couldn't do. And I believe cellularly throughout the ages, we continue to look at the things that we can't do or the things that we're not, and only believe in greatness in superheroes. Now, I'm a superhero comic book fan. And as a child, I used to dream of invisibility, or to be like Storm of the X-Men, to control the weather at my whim. I truly was looking outside of myself, not really realizing at the time that all the powers are within. Now, I might not, if a tornado's coming, I'm not going to stand in front and try to use my wind. I will be ushering everyone to a safe place. But that isn't what the divinity really is. We continue to look outside at things, at issues, at characteristics, something more from us. She continues, I am not the mistakes I have made or any of the things that caused me pain. And I am not the pieces of the dream I left behind. I am light. As humans, as humanity, we continue to be suckered in by saying that we are all these things outside of us, these characteristics, and we are those things, but we are so much more. You're not the color of your skin, the color of your eyes. You are not your age, your race. And she goes on to say, my soul inside is all light, all light. That is what we truly are, encapsulated within us. Is a light. And I believe that light isn't just if you cracked me open, all of a sudden it'd be like, woo, bright lights, like you see in comics. We are an energy, a divine energy that brings us into our oneness. The same energy that I am, that you are, that is the common denominator of life, more and more we are proving that that energy, scientists more and more are calling the possibility of that being God. For we know that we don't, at least here in Unity, envision a God with wavy white hair and a long beard touching down a finger on us and us grabbing a hold of it and trying to grasp the divinity, trying to grasp a hold of that energy, just a little bit of it. My beloveds, we are all of it. But why don't we know it? Why don't we have it? Because we continue to believe that we are these things instead of really taking to heart the songs that we just sang, the beliefs that we continue to try to let you know. At some point in time, we need to let go of this illusion of notness and realize that we are made up, as Carl Sagan says, of star stuff. All of us, the planets, and if we're talking about the planet, we're talking about the trees, the grass, the animals, us. We have to get it. We are all one and we are all divine because we are all God. Now, I know a lot of people are like, "Ooh, what heresy is she saying?" But if we say that God is everywhere present, then I'm truly speaking that God is everywhere present. No longer trying to go, "Well, yeah, I say God is everywhere present, but I don't look in the mirror and see God there. When I walk past Rob, I see God there. When I walk past Fred, Deborah, John, all of you. Beloved Isabel, way in the back with the cool hat. I see God there in each and every person and in the cool hat too." Little cat, envious. But did you know that Carl Sagan wasn't the first one to say this? I'm sure if you were a scientist, you probably knew this. This theory has been going on for a long while, as in 1918, the president of the Royal Astronomical Society of Canada delivered a speech. And the phrase, he said this, "It is true that a first thoughtful glimpse of the immeasurable universe is liable rather to discourage us with a sense of our own insignificance. But astronomy is wholesome even in this, and helps to clear the way to a realization that as our bodies are an integral part of the part of a grateful physical universe, so through them are manifested laws and forces that take rank with the highest manifestation of cosmic being. Thus, we come to see that if our bodies are made of star stuff and there is nothing else to make them of a loftier quality of our being are just as necessary, constitutes of that universe substance out of which are made whatever gods there be. We are made of universal and divine ingredients. The study of the stars will not let us escape a wholesome and final knowledge of that fact." 1918. Carl borrowed it from 1918. And then in 1921, it was stated from Harvard College Observatory, "We are made of the same stuff as the stars. So when we study astronomy, we are in a way only investigating our remote ancestry and our place in the universe of star stuff. Our very bodies consist of the same chemical elements found in the most distant nebulae, and our activities are guided by the same universal rules." 1918, 1921, and we still haven't got it. Carl Sagan, I think most of us love when he says, "We are the star stuff harvesting sunlight." We are the star stuff harvesting, or when he says, "We are the way for the cosmos to know itself." We are. And just 3 days ago, I just read an article about a study that said, we really are the star stuff. More and more, they're proving it. When will we get out of the disbelief that not only are we one, we're one with one another, but we are one with the ultimate that created us? And it is only then, once we really, I believe, understand that we are divine, truly that we are the incarnation, each and every one of us, in our individual way, of the greatest of creations. We not are only the creation, but we are a part of the Creator. Then we will stop acting silly as humanity. You know, I ask you, if you knew that as I'm looking at Joan here, if I walked up, Joan walked up to me, and I had it in my head that she was God. You know how the Joan Osborne song says, you know, God is riding the bus and all that other stuff? How would we treat God? How would I treat Joan? How would my whole being shift? Will we be so overwhelmed at the beauty of Joan that we want to kneel at her? Will we start asking her questions? Will we ignore her and defy that, no, this is not a deity? I give to you that Joan is God, as Roger is, as Susan is, and that anyone who is walking up to you is the divine. And the only way that we can move past it is stop seeing everyone else as something that is just human, and to know that our humanity is purely divine, that each and every person that walks past us, walks into our arms, speaks to us, is an aspect of the divine. If we could all grab a hold of that, how then could we kill something that is so great, that is so beautiful? How then could we mistreat one another? How then could we continue to rape the earth of its nutrients? How then could we then move forward to not think of anything other than ourselves when we realize that I am and you are divine, and that together heaven is created here on earth? I like what Wayne Dyer says, trust and value your own divinity as well as your connection to nature. Seeing God's works everywhere will be your reward. How can you destroy something if you really know it is God's work and it is the beloved? How can you talk badly about yourself? In the Daily Word, we talked about the I am as being your spiritual, I can't remember what it said, something like your spiritual identity. The I am is the name of God. It's biblical. It's in the Bible. It's when Moses found the burning bush and God tried to convince Moses that you need to go save your people. And Moses kept saying, no, no, I have a stutter. I have this. Who am I to say that I can save my people? And then Moses switched up and said, well, who are you? When my people tell me that someone sent me, who should I tell them sent me? And the burning bush said, I am that I am. Only place in the Bible where God gives its own name. I am. I tell you with that we have been claiming our divinity subconsciously every time we say I am. But we use it in such dire ways. We miss the mark in so many ways because we don't realize the importance and the creative power of I am. I am is not only our spiritual name, it is our identity as divine. And yet we so flippantly talk about I am this, I am that, I am not this, I am not that. We claim the name as I am as the truth of your complete being, as the goodness, of the love, of the joy of God, as the embrace, the guidance, embrace the allness. And I understand for our human minds sometimes we can't quite calculate the allness, infinity, how there are things beyond trillion, octillion, and oh my God. And we create names for things that continue to grow and we can't fully grasp of it. And yet, all of it, and us within it, are divine. A Course in Miracles says, deep within you is everything that is perfect, ready to radiate through you and out into the world. My beloveds, one of the things that if you haven't caught a clue here in the year, is my gentle suggestion to all of us. It's not just to say that we're going to go deeper into our spiritual practice, but to move forward in the realization that we are divine. And not in the sense of that, and I think it's scary for us as humans, because anytime someone has claimed a power of divinity in our history, they always want to take over something. But see, that isn't God. What we learn about God, that's the opposite of God. That's the ego. When you claim your divinity, you're all about love. You're all about oneness. You're all about raising someone up. You're not about warring. You're about peace. You're not about trying to grab a hold for the money, the nutrients of the world. We're looking for an abundance of a win-win world, animals, ourselves. We become the light. We don't have to become it. We are it. We just need to open up. Of course, the Miracles also says, I am as God created me. This one thought would be enough to save you and the world if you believed that is true. My suggestion, my joy, my work as your minister is to remind you this each and every week and to invite you to believe it so that we can save ourselves and our world. God bless you. And so let us say our affirmation of the week, which is also in your bulletin. Let's say this together. I am created in the image and likeness of God. Actually, let's breathe that in a little bit. I am created in the image and likeness of God. Amen.